This is a Sunday that comes only once in 7 years, taking into account adjustments for leap years. But it is the celebration of the presentation of our Lord. The Old Testament reading prescribed for today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, where the prophet Samuel was brought before the Lord to serve him the rest of his life. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the book of Hebrews. It's on page 1284 in your pew Bibles. We read Hebrews 2, beginning at verse 14. "Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1096, and we read Luke 2, 22 through 32. "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. And they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. This is our text. Wow, today is a trifecta. There's three big things going on today. First of all, religiously speaking, February 2nd is the celebration of the presentation of our Lord. It's on the 40th day after the birth of the Lord, as prescribed in the law of our Lord, that he was brought to the temple. Not that it really matters, the Vikings aren't in it, but it's also Super Bowl Sunday. But February 2nd is also another very special day. Who knows what else today is? Groundhog's Day. Yes. The presentation of our Lord and Groundhog's Day are the same day. Does that not strike you as unusual? Well, it isn't, if you will, that unusual. Back in Germany, it wasn't actually Groundhog's Day. It was, if you will, Badger Day. And it was a pagan festival long before Christ was even born. They'd gather in the evening. They would build bonfires and bring torches. And they would wait the appearance of the badger at the midpoint between the winter and the spring solstices to see if he would appear. Later on, it became known as the Feast of the Presentation of our Lord. And it was called Candlemas. Let's all say Candlemas. Or in better English, the Mass of Candles. The origin of the Advent wreath was the lighting of candles not before Christmas, but from Christmas to Candlemas, with one additional candle being lit each day until the presentation of our Lord. That is, if you will, the origin of the feast as we celebrate it as Christians. But its real origins go back even further, back into the Old Testament, to just before the Israelites were freed from their bondage in Egypt, to Exodus chapter 13, and God is speaking to Moses, just before that angel of death was going to pass over Egypt and kill all the firstborn, except for the Israelites, who had through the blood of a perfect lamb, who was sacrificed and had that blood placed upon their doors, to that they were spared. And if you will, the presentation of the Lord and all other Jewish males who first opened the womb was to serve as a reminder of how they were once delivered. From Exodus chapter 13, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, good Lutheran question, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that first open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. If you will, the practice served as an ever-present reminder, and not just on days of the Sabbath, not just on days of the festivals that God commanded Israel to keep, but whenever new life came into the world, whenever there was a firstborn male, things would be done in the life of the Israelites to, if you will, cause their children to ask questions. And the answer would serve to remind them at what great cost they were freed and became the people of Israel, God's chosen. There were so many things in the life of the Jews from the time they got out of Egypt down to the days when the temple was destroyed, that in everyday life served as, if you will, a reminder of God's redemption. Imagine seeing a perfectly good foal of a horse or of a donkey. Beautiful new lamb being born. You know, such events would fascinate young children, wouldn't they? And I suppose that very often you'd find, if you will, the farmers, especially the poor farmers, praying, God, let it be a girl. Because when you're killing all those animals and offering them as sacrifice, it's quite a cost. And so some young child would be there to witness this birth. And then dad would have to take it. And without seemingly any good reason, he'd kill it and offer it as sacrifice. And the children would be saying, why? And then they'd tell them about the sacrifice that was made to redeem them. You know, it is important for us to be in worship regularly, to talk about our Lord and our Redeemer. But if you will, in our modern lives, particularly in this nation, if we leave these buildings, which we call churches, we go back to our home life. How many opportunities do we really take to sit and talk about what our God has done and what our God will do to redeem us when He comes again? You know, it's easy in our modern world to go without mention of Christ and His work from Sunday to Sunday. To just let the day's business be conducted. To have no mention of Him at all. That's not the way God structured it to be when He chose His people Israel. It wasn't just this thing with the firstborn that would cause children to ask questions. From the way clothing was made. How many of you have a cotton polyester blend on someplace on your body today? Raise your hand. Might be your socks, might be whatever. Jews couldn't wear that. Everything had to be out of one type of cloth. Well, Dad, why can't I combine these two things? Well, because you're holy and you're separate from the Lord. How many of you eat bacon? Not if you are one of God's people. Why not? All the other cultures around us get to eat it, and it's good. No, but you are a holy and separate people. Again and again and again and again, if you read through all the regulations that affected not just what you did when you gathered to worship, but when you carried out your everyday life as a Jew, everything said something's different. From what you ate to what you wore, to why do we have to kill these animals? They're perfectly good. It was all designed so that each and every day of everyone's life, there would be this reminder of how they are holy and distinct and they are separate. And when they asked why, they'd be told about how God chose them. And they'd be told about the cost. And we too are chosen by God. There was another firstborn that had to die in order that we might be redeemed. It was that Jesus brought to the temple. The only begotten Son of God, begotten of the worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified for us. That firstborn had to go to the cross and die. Not that we might be merely freed from some earthly bondage, but that we might be freed from sin and from death and from eternal punishment in hell itself. He himself committed no sin. He needed no redeeming. But when he was brought to the temple, when he was baptized by the Apostle John, when he carried his cross to Golgotha, and when they nailed him to it, it was for our sins that he was paying the cost. That by his blood on that cross, the angel of death, if you will, might pass over us and we would be redeemed. What does this mean? It was not just a question for Sunday mornings, or if you will, Saturday mornings in Jewish life. Not just a question for the festival times. It was a question to be asked and answered on a daily basis, carrying out our everyday lives. God wants us to also answer those questions on a daily basis. When children say, Why did this happen? Tell them about the dangers of sin. But also tell them how God has redeemed us when they're worried. Tell them how dearly they are loved by God and how He moved heaven and earth in order to save us. When those everyday doubts and worries and fears and guilt arise in our hearts, may God grant that with our children, but also our friends, our neighbors, the people we work with, fellow students, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross may not be left out of the conversation, but that we will seize all those times in our lives to talk about Him, to bear witness to Him, to explain to others what it all means. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.